I send warm greeting to each and every one of you worshiping with us here in the sanctuary and via Zoom. If you haven't prepared for the bread and the wine or juice, this is a good time that you do, because we're going to have communion a little bit later. There is a small voice that penetrated the stillness of the night. It comes from the bedroom across the hall. "Daddy, I'm scared." Out of groggy, fuzzy state, the father responds with, "Honey, don't be afraid. Daddy is right across the hall." After a very brief pause, the little voice is heard again. "I'm still scared." Always quick with an insight, the dad responds, "You don't need to be afraid. God is with you. God loves you." This time the pause is longer, but the voice returns, "I don't care about God, Daddy. I want someone with skin on." It seems like the logic used by the little child is precisely the reason for the incarnation. Incarnation means in the flesh. After thousands of years of being unsuccessful in being able to convince his people that he really loved them, our Creator realized that the best way to demonstrate his love for us was to send someone with a skin on. Someone spoke of the incarnation in a child term. Some people couldn't hear God's inside whisper, so he sent Jesus to tell them out loud. In this postmodern society, heavily influenced by science and technology, many still think that the Bible is just a legend or a fiction written by religious fanatics. They are not spiritually awakened to the truth that God truly came down to earth on Christmas, and God of Emmanuel is present in the world today and eternally. During this Advent season, we pray that the heart of many will be open to see the living God and receive Christ into their hearts. For those of us who already believe in the incarnation, we want to open wider our hearts and mind to not only draw closer to him, but also stay ever ready to follow God's guidance. This morning, we are going to learn from Joseph about how we could be more receptive to God's guidance in our lives. Christmas stories usually circle around the angels, shepherd, the Magi, and the Virgin Mary, but not so much about Joseph. It may be because he was not exactly a part of this historical event of the incarnation, other than he was betrothed to wed Mary. Biologically, he did not contribute anything to the birth of the Messiah, but Joseph teaches us so much of the spiritual virtues as a believer. Let's look at the physical qualities for the father figure for the Messiah. The Old Testament prophecies manifestly indicated that the Messiah was to come from the lineage of King David. Therefore, the father of the Messiah must belong to the genealogy. According to Matthew, God planned a precise timing of the birth of Jesus. As we just read on verse 17, there were 14 generations in all from Abram to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. The combination of the two conditions point to someone in the 13th generation from the time of exile in the lineage of David. And Joseph happened to meet those two criteria. But there were also spiritual qualifications for someone to be the father of the Messiah. Considering that the Messiah was to be born of a virgin, the husband-to-be must be crazily forgiving and loving to accept the kind of wife. Was Joseph the kind of man? Matthew gives a brief description of Joseph's personality and says that he was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce Mary quietly. This speaks volumes about Joseph. It is very difficult to be faithful to the law and a very loving and forgiving at the same time. The law dictates eye to eye, tooth to tooth, and leaves no room for mercy against any sin, let alone a pregnancy outside the marriage. The Mosaic law stipulates that the kind of sin deserves a capital punishment. And Joseph's kindness to not disclose the pregnancy and divorce Mary quietly was very considerate. But something extraordinary happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him not to be afraid to take Mary home as his wife. It was a very dangerous proposal from the angel. What angel proposed could endanger not only Joseph's reputation, but also ruin his life. Regardless, Joseph took her in. Joseph's action demonstrates humility, obedience, and sacrifice before God. Would there have been any other Joseph who could meet all these physical and spiritual criteria to be the father of the Messiah? Probably not. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in dreams two more times. After the visit of the Magi, an angel appeared to Joseph and told him to escape to Egypt as Herod was trying to kill the infant Jesus. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in Egypt and told him to go back to Israel. I wonder if this reminds you of another Joseph, who was also guided by God through dream. Yes, it is Joseph from Genesis, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob loved Rachel and favored Joseph from Rachel over other sons. Joseph was a dreamer. He had a dream in which his brothers came and bowed before him. And all these made his brothers very jealous. And out of jealousy, Joseph's brothers sold Joseph, and he was taken to Egypt. Joseph ended up in prison in Egypt, and in the prison, he met the cupbearer and the baker for Pharaoh. They both had dreams. As exactly as Joseph interpreted their dreams, the cupbearer was restored to his position, and the baker was impaled. Later, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and predicted 7 good years, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph, by his ability to interpret dreams, he was promoted to the highest position in Egypt and saved all his family members and help them settle in Egypt. So both Josephs, Joseph in the Old Testament and Joseph in the New Testament, were dreamers. God guided and saved their lives through dreams. Now, the Joseph, the husband of Mary, had a lot of spiritual qualities to be the father of the Messiah. He was humble, faithful, righteous, but probably the greatest spiritual virtue was his spiritual attentiveness and obedience to follow the divine intervention, which was given to him in his dreams. Every time an angel in his dream told him what he should do, he readily obeyed. So let's think about that. The divine intervention comes to us in many forms, and dream is one of them. The problem is, when God intervenes, we often do not recognize it. I confess that I have missed God's intervention many times and walk on the path of unnecessary pain and suffering. You know, pain is worthwhile when we suffer for a good cause, but there is such a thing as a needless pain. The lyrics of the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," says, "Oh, what peace we forfeit, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." We sometimes do not heed the divine intervention because of our lack of discernment. Let's think about it. Everyone dreams. I'm sure we have dreamed just out of our memory of some past event. Do you know that also dog dreams? Dogs twitching, chattering, or moving their paws while sleeping are signs of them dreaming. In Korea, when people have dreams that do not seem to have any significance, they say, "Well, you have a dog dream." How many of us pay attention to the divine intervention that appears to be ignorable, like a dog dream, and don't take actions accordingly? We have dog dreams, but also some dreams of the divine intervention. Spiritual alertness helps us to discern which is the dreams of the divine intervention and the dreams that can be ignored. Joseph had this spiritual alertness and readiness that made him different and spiritually mature. Speaking of these spiritual qualities, all those who were present at the first Christmas had the same spiritual quality. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her what would soon take place. Even though the Annunciation was shocking to Mary, Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Angels told the shepherd the good news, and they did not hesitate but hurried off to see the baby Messiah in Bethlehem. God warned the Magi in a dream to take a different route to go back to their home country, which they obeyed. The spiritual alertness and readiness qualify them to have the privilege to witness the historical event of the incarnation. look closely at the kind of divine intervention that people of the first Christmas received. God intervened to change their course of life very drastically. By God's intervention, Mary's life was transformed into a life which she never imagined. The Magi took a completely different route to return home. Joseph planned to build a family, but God had a different kind of family in mind. God intervened in the life of Joseph second time, and Joseph had to move to a foreign country which he never imagined. God intervenes to open a new path or block our plan in order to fulfill His plan, not ours. We need to be spiritually open to receive and follow this kind of God's intervention. When Andy Griffith, star of the classic television program that bore his name, entered his 50s, he found it increasingly difficult to find work in Hollywood. His personal finances became tighter and tighter. He wrote in Guidepost that finally he and his wife Cindy decided things would be easier if they moved from Los Angeles back to Andy's home state of North Carolina. So they put their home up for sale and waited for a buyer. Unfortunately, the real estate market was down and no one gave them a decent offer for their home. Months passed and Andy grew depressed. Then one day the Lord gave Cindy an insight. Maybe it's a good thing we couldn't sell the house, she said. Maybe it was God showing us grace. If we move to North Carolina now, you might indeed never work again. What we need to do is stay here and stoke the fire. And stoke the fire they did. Day after day, they went together to the office of the talent agency that represented Andy. They sat in the lobby, chatted with the agent, and went with them to lunch. Eventually, the work started to come in. 4 TV movies that year, including the pilot for Matlock, a show that ended running for 9 years. Sometimes a closed door is a signpost from God. He has a better way for us to go. So, how sensitive are we to the divine intervention? Do we have the readiness? Are we spiritually alert? Are we open-minded to the divine intervention in whatever form it may come? Or do we misjudge the divine intervention and regards as interference? The first Christmas was all about the divine intervention. And the people of Christmas were so receptive of how God intervenes in their lives. And it was why they were so privileged to eyewitness the greatest divine intervention in human history. As a people of Christmas, may we remain spiritually alert and be ready so that we may humbly obey God's intervention in our lives. Amen.